Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I am the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I am now pleased to introduce the TMR member, Jeff Bastable, College of Arts and Sciences Advisory Board member, past president of the Varsity Club and member of the board, letter winner of distinction, among many other roles, as he will introduce this morning's speaker. Please join me in welcoming Jeff Bastable.
Thank you, Emily. Good morning, everyone. Cheery group this morning, very active. Well, this morning, we have Andrew Goodrich with us. Andrew is the Deputy Athletics Director and Chief Marketing Officer for Syracuse University Athletics Department. He's a native of Owego, New York. Dr. Goodrich joined the Syracuse Athletics Department Senior Leadership Team in November 2018 after serving as Senior Associate Athletics Director for External Relations at the University of South Florida since 2014. Andrew is familiar with the Atlantic Coast Conference, so-called ACC, having worked at the University of Miami and Notre Dame. At South Florida, Dr. Goodrich was responsible for leading the Bulls' business strategy, revenue generation, ticket operations, ticket sales, corporate relationships and sponsorships, merchandising, and the University of South Florida's athletics licensing initiatives. Additionally, he supervised marketing and strategic communications, which included digital and social media strategy, Bulls vision and video and audio production, branding, and in-game presentation fan experience enterprises. Dr. Goodrich spearheaded the University of South Florida's efforts to help become recognized as one of the nation's leaders in the use of the most sophisticated strategic communications, marketing, advertising, sales, and fan experience tools. Additionally, he played a key role in several revenue-generating contracts, including multi-year deals with Adidas and other well-known brands, in addition to a multimedia rights deal with Tampa Bay Entertainment Properties and naming rights of the Yingling, the beer company, center there. Andrew also worked at USF as an assistant athletics director for administration from 05 to 2010. At the University of Miami, he served as an associate athletics director for marketing and sales, where he established innovative advertising, promotional and sales strategies via e-commerce, digital, mobile, and social media platforms, which helped their department establish new attendance records across many sports programs, including football, men's basketball, and volleyball. Prior to working with the Hurricanes, the Miami Hurricanes, he served as director of athletics at Owego Free Academy here in New York. And before entering a career in athletic administration, Dr. Goodrich honed his business and technologic skills as a financial analyst with IBM, where he managed the IBM Global Accounts Payable Business Data Warehouse. He's a speaker at numerous conventions and events. He earned his doctorate in higher ed administration from the University of South Florida in 2015. He also earned an MBA in marketing and management from the University of Notre Dame, where he served as marketing graduate assistant. He has a bachelor's degree from Cumberland University, and while there, he earned academic all-conference honors in baseball as a baseball student athlete and was a member of the 1998 team that competed in the College World Series. He's taught business communications, sports marketing, fundraising, and athletic administration courses during his career. He currently serves on the Collegiate Steering Committee for the Sports and Entertainment Alliance with Technology, so-called SEAT Consortium, and In-Stadium Collegiate Team Advisory Council. Please join me in welcoming Andrew Goodrich. Andrew?
You got it. Thank you very much, Jeff. I truly appreciate the introduction. Thank you all for having me here. I know many of you anticipated seeing John Wildhack. Unfortunately, was not able to make it this morning, but as you heard in the bio, as a college baseball player, have some experience pinch hitting, so I told him I would be here this morning. From what I understand, this is kind of a presentation and then a Q&A, but what I really wanted to do was kind of turn this into more of a conversation than a presentation. I do have some key things that I want to talk about today. I'm probably going to introduce myself and then kind of talk through some of the high-level goals and accomplishments of the last year for the athletics department. But if you are really, really compelled to ask a question, please raise your hand, feel free, and we'll have that conversation. As Jeff shared, I grew up on a dairy farm in central upstate New York, in Owego, New York. Is everybody familiar? Just south of Ithaca. I bleed orange. I love it. It's really interesting as a young man growing up in this area how, you know, we have the city of Syracuse and we have the outlying towns, but in all over upstate New York, there are so many small towns that really feel like Syracuse is my hometown team, right? This is my team, right? I know where I was that night in 1987, right? I know where I was. And it's such a big deal, and I share this personally, because growing up on a farm, I don't know how many of you did or had relatives that did, my father wasn't really into sports. He was into getting up early and getting work done. And when Syracuse played Indiana in the national championship game, it was the first time my father let me stay up past my bedtime, and it was the first time I watched a game with my dad. And I think about that, and how I'm connected to Syracuse University, how my family is connected, and how everyone in this community has stories just like that that really bonds us to this program and to this university. And so with that, I'm incredibly honored to be a part of this team. And I guess I will field this question because I know it's coming. You lived in Florida for 13 years and came back here? Are you crazy? You know what? It's experiences like that that are really meaningful, and it's really what drew me back here. So I really appreciate being here this morning. So here at Syracuse University, especially in our athletics department, we are trying to be a preeminent program in terms of academic and athletic success. And having worked at the University of Notre Dame and the University of Miami, two private schools in the ACC who are doing very good things, when I come here, I see us doing very good things. I'm really excited about our program, and I wanted to kind of take a moment and kind of share some of the academic success of this past year. Overall, team GPA this past year, 3.101. Yeah, all team, all student athletes. So about 600 student athletes all together. If you think about that, that is an incredible, incredible GPA. And what's really interesting about that, too, is not only is it GPAs, but it's graduation rates. We often compare ourselves to our peers, which sometimes is referred to as the autonomous 65 or the Power 5. You may have heard those phrases. 65 schools in that group. We're ranked 13th in the country right now with a 92% graduation rate. So I think it really speaks to the effort of all the student athletes and the staff and the academic folks who work really hard. And frankly, to the student athletes themselves, if you had an opportunity to kind of shadow a student athlete and see what he and she does every day in terms of getting up, training, going to class, preparing their minds and bodies to go out and be the best they can be, it really is a fun and amazing thing to be a part of. We had some really significant individual accomplishments that I wanted to share here. Let's talk about real quick ACC postgraduate scholarship winners. The Weaver James Corrigan postgraduate scholarships are awarded to selected student athletes who intend to pursue a graduate degree following completion of their undergraduate requirements. Each recipient will receive $6,000 towards his or her graduate education. Those honored have performed with distinction in both the classroom and their respective sport while demonstrating exemplary conduct in the community. We had three winners of this scholarship. Marcus Cunningham from the men's lacrosse team, Santina Ibagwe from women's volleyball, and then Ariana Lee from women's crew. So three fantastic scholarship winners there. And then we have, how many people are familiar with the Syracuse University Scholars Award, right? It's one of the highest awards, I think maybe the highest award that an undergraduate student can get. This year, there were 12 winners of that award. Two of those 12 winners are Syracuse student athletes, Santina Ibagwe from women's volleyball, and then Hendrick Hilbert from men's soccer. They will represent the graduating class at the 2019 May commencement ceremony. And the scholars will be honored with a reception at the Chancellor's House, which is fantastic. And they will receive special medallions to be worn during commencement. And they'll be honored at the One University Awards on Friday, April 12th at Hendricks Chapel. In addition to that, Kingsley Jonathan earned the ACC Autonomy Student Athlete Representative of 2019-2020. Now, what this means is he'll be one of three ACC students who will represent and hold voting power on proposed NCAA rule changes under the Division I autonomy process, which is a great accomplishment and opportunity for him. And then you're going to hear a lot about Santita. She is a fantastic student athlete. She also earned an NCAA postgraduate scholarship. It's a one-time grant of $10,000 for use in postgraduate studies. The NCAA awards up to 126 postgraduate scholarships annually to student athletes who excel academically and athletically and who are in their final year of competition. Eligible student athletes must have at least a 3.2 GPA, performed with distinction in their respective sport, and be outstanding citizens and role models for the institution and intercollegiate athletics as a whole. I think when we talk about intercollegiate athletics, you know, there's a lot of focus on the athletics. You know, we don't get as much attention on the academics, but I'm honored to kind of share those stories with you to demonstrate the attitude and effort of our student athletes in the classroom, and frankly, the folks who support those student athletes every single day in our offices. It's interesting, Jeff had shared that I earned a PhD in higher ed administration, and I think back through my own career and life as a student athlete. Yes, it's a lot of work to do both, but it is very rewarding, and I really think that we're doing a lot to help I don't want to say change the narrative, right? Because there's a lot of stereotypes that student athletes don't go to class, student athletes don't care about their academics. That is not the truth here. At Syracuse, they are working very hard, doing very well in the classroom, and frankly, right now, getting ready for final exams. So we're excited to support them. And then on the athletic side, right, which we talk about a lot, we had a wonderful year. Let's start at the top with the football program. Last year's 10-3 football season capped by a Camping World Bowl victory really brought this city to life, did it not? Right? I mean, it really did. And I think there's a really underrated statistic in all of that. How many people in here were able to make the trip to Orlando for the Camping World Bowl? Anybody? Yeah, there was a few, right? The entire stadium was orange. It was beautiful. It was almost shocking, right, to say here we are in Orlando, Florida in December, and that it was a home field advantage for Syracuse. We really had that building. And what's interesting is when college football teams are evaluated, they're evaluated not only on their performance on the field, but they're evaluated by their fan support. And Syracuse University and their fans and this alumni group really represented well, because people all over the nation were tuning in that game and seeing a sea of orange and realizing there is a lot of support for the Syracuse football program. And I think that will pay dividends for Coach Babers, our student athletes, and the program as a whole. And as many of you know, when football does well, a rising tide raises all ships, and it's really good for all of our programs. So really excited about them. Let's talk about one of my favorite moments of this past year. How many people follow women's ice hockey? A couple? Did you know we had a women's ice hockey program? Well, we do. We do. And no, it is a varsity intercollegiate sport. And it started, I think about 10, 12 years ago, right? And so we play up at the Tennedy, right? And so here's the thing, what a fantastic story. They start off the year a little slow, not getting a lot of victories, but learning along the way. And then they get, you know, into the season, they start playing a little better, they start winning some games. Towards the end of the year, they're starting to figure it out, getting better. Now they're one of the lowest seeds in their conference tournament. You know, everyone said, win, 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 win the conference championship, their first conference championship in history, and their first trip to the NCAA tournament for women's ice hockey. It is a huge turning point in the history of that program. So if you don't know about that, go support women's ice hockey. They're a fantastic program. And it's funny, because we always talk about student athletes and students in general. We major in business and medicine and law and education. But that's a team that majored in grit and determination and tenacity. And I'm really proud of them. And it's a great story of something that happened this year. A gentleman talked about women's volleyball. He's a big women's volleyball fan in here. You should support them. They also made their first trip to the NCAA tournament this year, which was really fantastic. We got a lot of real competitive success. 12 different teams at some point this year were ranked in the national top 25 of all of our programs. We had this unique distinction of being, there were only three schools in the autonomous or Power Five programs of those 65 schools we talked about that had a football team that won 10 games and sent both their men's and women's basketball team to the NCAA tournament, and one of those was Syracuse University. We're very proud of that. And then, you know, we got to talk about women's basketball. How many people have been to a women's basketball game? Yes! Awesome. How many consecutive years has women's basketball won 20 more games? How many years? Someone throw me a guess. Ted, you win. I should have brought a prize. You won. You're just the winner. But think about that. 10 straight years of 20 or more victories? That's fantastic. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. And then here's the thing. Hosted in the NCAA tournament this year, did a great job to be a top 16 seed to be able to do that, right? Got 4 of 5 starters returning on that team, and it's fantastic basketball. And this is a basketball town, right? I moved here 5 months ago. I literally live one block away in Armory Square, which was a lot of fun, and I came downstairs, and I saw this clock. And it's just counting down over and over again. And I honestly didn't know what it was. I literally thought, this has got to be like some sort of weird parking meter or something. What is going on? I best they're serious about tickets around here, right? Boom, you got 24 seconds to move. You know, then I went and read the plaque, and I understood it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a fantastic basketball community. We've got the 24-second clock right downtown. And I think of a city like Syracuse with people who love basketball, go. Watch women's basketball. A, you're doing a great service for those students because they love having you in there. B, you create a home venue advantage. They play better the more people who are in there, right? And C, they're fantastic. You will love it. I promise you, you will love it. Go watch women's basketball. And then, of course, we've got our men's basketball program, right? Just consistent, making the NCAA tournament year after year after year. How many people watched that game when we beat Duke at Duke? Was awesome. What a lot of fun to watch this basketball program. And Coach Boeheim, who will be going into his 44th season this next year as our head basketball coach. And I just saw an article that said he actually started as the golf coach. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. So we appreciate everything you guys do to support all of our student athletes. One point of distinction for the men's basketball program, you may not know this because I'm not sure that we've promoted it all that much. Maybe we need to do more of this. We led the nation in average attendance this year. And so usually the University of Kentucky, they win it almost every year. We took that this year. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's something that as a community we should all be very proud of having the number one attendance, number one support for a program in the nation. I think one thing that I want to talk about, we actually have 2 new coaches, which I think is important. If you follow women's soccer and softball, we got Shannon Dopeking is going to be our new softball coach. She got started here this year. She had been the head coach at Dartmouth. And then Nikki Adams came from Rice. If you see some similarities, you've got 2 really strong female head coaches who came from really, really high-performing academic institutions in Rice and Dartmouth. Really fits what we're trying to do here at Syracuse University. And it talks about the competitiveness in the ACC. There are incredible schools in the ACC, And our peers are working very hard every single day to be the best they can be, which requires us to do the absolute best we can in every facet of our operations. You heard that, you know, my background, even though I was a student athlete, I worked at IBM, and I started getting involved on the technical side, and it kind of morphed itself into kind of a marketing and fan engagement type of career. I'm sure you've heard about upgrades to the Carrier Dome. Anybody hear about that? It's kind of a big deal, right? And so it's really exciting to work with Pete and John and see everything that they're working on. You know, I think about fan experience. I think about being able to put a brand new video board in there. I don't know, you know, right now, you know, it's adequate. It gets its job done. But as we travel around the country and we see the fan experience that other folks have and the kind of fan experience that we want to deliver to our fans, I just think once that happens, you're going to see a really robust, fun engagement with the game. A lot of people, we look at the surveys, one of the most frequent issues that we are working on is the sound. Everyone, I mean, we get it all the time, right? In some places, it's too loud. In some places, it's too quiet. In many places, it's muffled and you can't hear it. I think once we're able to make those changes, I think you're going to have a lot better experience, a cleaner, crisper sound. We won't have to make it blaring behind your head, you know. At the last place I worked, we actually shared the football stadium with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium. So we got to go through this experience of putting in new video boards and new surround sound. It's a completely different experience and one that'll really elevate and something you'll enjoy. When I think about the dome renovations, they're going to happen over the course of several years and it'll happen in phases. But it doesn't mean that we're not trying to fix some things and improve some things right now. You know, we have some great meetings over the past couple months reviewing concessions, looking at how can we reduce the wait times in line so you can get in and out of there. We're looking at fan responses in terms of food options. Many, many people have come forward and said, hey, I'd like to have some more healthier options. You know, we've worked with the campus leadership to be able to do that. You know, I've heard that we're not allowed to change hot dogs. Is that true? Is that very true? That was a great story. I was like, well, what if we did this? Don't change it. Whatever you do, don't change the hot dogs. So hot dogs are intact, right? Just thinking about other things that are going to happen. The restrooms, air conditioning, these are all things that Pete and John are working on, and I think over the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to see some major improvements. The other thing I really like about lighting, you know, people don't think about lighting so much in there, but when you have LED-type lights, we can give those student-athletes that experience and the fans the experience they're looking for. Like, for example, pregame introductions, there's nothing like having all the lights go out, have the spotlight, a couple of the laser lights. We're putting on a show, right? I came over here, watched Les Mis. They put on an amazing show right here in downtown. It was wonderful. And I'm watching, and I'm sitting there, and I'm in the theater, and I'm thinking, boy, I can't wait until we're able to do something like this in the Dome. And it's coming. It'll happen. You know, one of the things that we're looking into is being able to use AI tools, artificial intelligence tools. And what ends up happening on game day when we talk to our ticket operations staff and the customer service folks is that sometimes they're overwhelmed with questions and phone calls. So we're looking into the ability to create a tool that will allow all fans to literally just type a question and text it to us and have an automatic response come. And it can be anything from where's the best place to park to where can I find a cheeseburger in the Dome, where is the first aid station, things like that, so you get instant automatic responses. That's a kind of a fun thing that we're working on and hoping we develop and have ready for opening game this year. And some of you may have heard about our opening game. September 14th? No? September 14th, Carrier Dome, Syracuse versus the Clemson Tigers, the defending national champions, right? And A, that's just a lot of fun, right? Playing an ACC opponent like that. B, they're the national champs. But C, this city is on fire for the Syracuse Orange. You may not have heard, our season ticket sales have been absolutely fantastic. Really excited about where we're going with that. More than 5,000 new season tickets have been purchased this year, right? That's amazing. And folks, there are fewer than 1,000 seats left in that 100 level. So when you go in and you see the whole 100 level, right? There are fewer than 1,000 seats left, and we're almost 5 months from playing the game. So I feel very confident saying I really anticipate this game's going to be a sellout. And I think it's been a while since we've had that sold-out Carrier Dome. And so I think it's going to be one of those things that you really, really want to see. I mean, we know what happened 2 years ago when they came in, right? And so we know what's possible with this football program. And it would be an amazing, amazing thing to be able to do that again. And really what it does is it's going to put us in the national spotlight, right? Syracuse football has won national championships. We've got Heisman Trophy winners. But it's been a little bit since we've been really in that spotlight. We will be in that spotlight. It's an opportunity for this community to go out and be involved. And I would say that there's a chance, you know, we were hopeful that ESPN College Game Day would bring their pregame program here and have that live from Syracuse before the game. We're hopeful. You never quite know. But if that does happen and we do announce that, I highly encourage you to get involved and be a part of that. I guess with that, I'd open it up with questions.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Hey, I think the group here might be interested in the vein of what you've been talking about, the rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes.
Maybe give the example of what we know that happens at Clemson in Alabama, that it's not just winning, but what it does for the university as far as recruiting students and how it cycles into improving the whole stature of the entire university.
It really does. It really does. And it's really interesting, right? Because as I was working on my PhD studies, you'll find there's a lot of people on both sides of this argument. You know, they'll say, does a winning athletic program truly help the university? And there's a lot of research out there that does support that. The idea that when that team performs well and you have a lot of eyes on the program, you get a lot more people visiting the websites, a lot more people applying, that allows the university to be more selective. The most recent example, college basketball fans, is we saw Texas Tech just make the NCAA championship game against Virginia, right? I read an article about the Texas Tech, the people visiting their website and the applications to that school from students out of state went up exponentially. All of a sudden, it became, all right, maybe this is an institution that I'd like to attend. And so as we continue to climb and improve, not only in football, but in all of our sports, as we heard earlier, 12 of our sports were ranked in the top 25 this year, it is going to help the university be more selective and help them in their rankings. It was a great question. Thank you.
Good morning. You talked about student athletes in a statistical sort of way.
Yep.
And I'm interested in other type of statistics. Do all student athletes have the same quality training facilities, trainers, academic support, training tables for food, that type of thing? Or are they graded on the amount of money their sport brings in?
Well, I'll answer that this way. Every single student athlete at Syracuse University is being treated with respect and to the best of our ability. Truth be told, we need more support to be able to make sure that every single student athlete gets full training table, all the same facilities. And we don't have that right now. And you can see that when you visit the softball stadium or you go to our ice hockey facility or you go to our tennis facility, right? Go to our tennis facility. Love our student athletes on the women's tennis team. They're a nationally ranked program. We would love to be able to provide them with higher quality courts in an area where they can play to the best of their ability. In terms of the academics, though, I will say we are in a pretty fair ground there, all sports, regardless of whether you're a revenue sport or a non-revenue sport, those student athletes have the opportunity to meet with their tutors to be able to get the academic support they need. We will not leave them behind. Absolutely. So thank you. And I'm glad you asked that question that way, because yes, I'm talking a lot about athletics and athletic success. How many people ever mentored somebody at some point in your life and career, right? It is literally the most rewarding thing in my career. I think, you know, I love being here. The reason why I'm here is probably because when I was working at IBM, I started coaching Little League Baseball, right? Just the ability to have an impact on a young person's life is so motivating and inspirational. And at Syracuse, if you had the opportunity to come and meet some of the staff members, the academic folks, the strength coaches, you see the impact they're making on every single one of these students' lives, and you are motivated every single day to come in and give them your all. It's about more than statistics. It's really about loving, serving, and caring for these kids and helping their dreams come true.
You mentioned the success of the women's hockey program. My recollection was there was talk at some point of that eventually evolving to an opportunity for a men's hockey program as well. Is that in the cards at all in the future?
To be totally candid, having only been here for 5 months, I have never been involved in one of those conversations. But I honestly don't know. I will always say anything is possible. I don't know that.
Morning.
Morning.
This is not really a question, and it's a comment.
Sure.
We've had season tickets for many years.
Awesome.
And one of the benefits is getting this wonderful calendar for those of us who are not in the digital age.
Okay.
I wanted to let you know how valuable this is to somebody.
Noted. Noted. Very good. Thank you.
Good morning. I was wondering if, I know you've only been here 5 months, but do you know the answer? What are they doing with the material from the dome roof when it's taken down?
That's a
why I'm asking.
Question. I'm trying to determine if I can answer that question or not.
The reason why I'm asking, I worked at the university and had a little bit of role when the new roof was put on, and they donated the material to third world countries instead of putting it in a landfill.
So they
sold some of it.
Right. I think we are looking at trying to find the most reasonable way to be able to use that material. I think, number one, we got to determine whether or not we could actually distribute that. But there have been conversations about the best way to take that and either recycle it or use it for good, to your point, and then maybe partner with a memorabilia company and give everyone an opportunity to take home a piece of that dome. So we're having those conversations. It's just not yet been determined. But thank you.
The idea of analytics being incorporated into sports probably received its prominence with the Oakland A's.
Yes.
And then got into professional football. To what extent are analytics used on the college level in our sports?
Well, on the college level, I would say that we are behind our peers at the pro sports level simply because we're not investing those same amount of dollars. We are really focusing, every time we have a dollar, we try to do it for scholarships and support of student athletes, so we're just not there yet. There's a handful of schools at the collegiate level that have gotten involved with it. One that I know of, a friend who works at the University of Texas, they are probably right now the leaders in intercollegiate athletics in terms of analytics. But I do think a day is coming, probably within the next generation, where every college program is going to use very high level and sophisticated analytic research to do a number of things. To really understand their players better, to understand really coaching strategies, and to keep people healthy and safe. I'll share an example. At my last institution, we partnered with a local hospital who had researchers. As you had heard, there were a number of students who were falling ill because their core body temperatures were getting so high, right? They were getting into critical areas. They partnered with the hospital. They created a little pill that the student athletes could swallow and have in their stomach, and it would have a radio frequency, and it would automatically tell the trainers what their core body temperature was. And once you got to a certain point and all of a sudden said, oh, you're now at a dangerous level, they could look at it. They knew exactly who the student athlete was. They could grab them and pull them. You'd be like, you're off. You're going to the ice pool. You got to cool down. Practice is over for the day. So that's just one example of where this space is going, happening a little bit more at the pro ranks, but you will see it in college athletics.
Good morning and welcome morning. To Syracuse.
Thank you.
My name is Pam Brunet. I work at Leadership Greater Syracuse. And there's a company in town that was founded here called Sidearm Sports.
Yes.
What do they do for you and others across the country? What's your arrangement with them?
So Sidearm Sports is our official website provider. And they are really our technological consultant, for lack of a better phrase. So every time you go to cuse.com, you are seeing a website built by Sidearm. And so, and it's a fantastic story, right? Jeff was right here in Syracuse. He was a student, saw a need, just went out and tried to solve a problem, did it on a very small level, solved a problem right here in Syracuse, and then extrapolated that out. I believe, I don't know the exact number, but I believe Sidearm has more than 200 schools that they now provide. 1,000? Okay. Gosh. So that probably makes them now, they're probably the largest provider in the nation for web-based support for athletics programs, but they go far beyond that, right? They do all sorts. So our app, if you've ever been on the Syracuse.com app, they provide support for that. It allows us to communicate all of the information that's happening at Syracuse University in a very timely, and then uses push notifications, so it'll pop right on your phone. Not everyone's a big fan of that, but if you're a fan and you sign up for it and you want to be a part of that, they do those support as well. Any other questions?
Not a question, a comment. I wanted to echo your mention of the women's tennis team.
Yes.
Not only are they a great team to watch, but they also provide free pizza.
Yes, they do. So, yes, good point. Yeah, shout out to our marketing team who does everything in their power to try to make those games as enjoyable as possible for the fans so we can get out there and support our young student athletes.
A couple quick questions. Okay. I promise to be quick. What kind of partnerships are you engaging with the city of Syracuse is one, and can you talk a little bit about economic impact, what the trends have been, and if you don't know the answer, that's okay, we understand you're new.
Yep.
But, you know, we're just curious about those two things and what initiatives you might have.
So very high level, again, being somewhat recent. In terms of the city of Syracuse, really, that's more of what are we going to do next? What we really got to do is get involved and make sure that we know the right folks. My understanding is you have some new leadership here in the city of Syracuse, so we've got to get involved with them. I think one thing very in particular that I've been reading in the newspaper is the I-81 possibilities, and I think about how that could impact not only athletics at Syracuse University, but the university as a whole. So, I mean, that's an opportunity for us to get involved. In terms of fan experience and working with the city, I think we have a great opportunity to look at traffic patterns, look at parking, try to figure out ingress and egress, how we get folks in and out. I was blessed at my last institution. They hosted a Super Bowl at Raymond James Stadium, and I got to see a great example of the university and the city and the county, and then your fire department, your sheriff's department, your police department, all coming together to come as one cohesive team to be able to host events like that. So I use those as examples to say, these are the things that I'd like to do working with the city of Syracuse and getting our student athletes out in front. I think we've already actually, we're kind of talking about possibly having something in downtown Syracuse prior to the football season to kind of have a little pep rally here downtown. We got to work on that. And then maybe, you know, an ICB, and I think about at the spring football game that we hosted last week. Right? We partnered with United Way to be able to help raise funds for that group. And while it was a free event, you know, we created the opportunity for folks to donate there, and hopefully we made a very positive impact.
For information to this group, there are monthly meetings between all of the players at city government, county government, SPD, and Syracuse University to just talk about and be strategic and proactive about these issues. And those meetings have served multiple purposes. One is we all get to know each other, and two is we're getting much better at problem solving, right? And anticipating how to improve the relationships and the experience for our community.
Thank you. Thank you for the assist. And just to answer your second question real quick, maybe the best way to demonstrate the economic impact that Syracuse makes is imagine for a moment we weren't here. That's the impact.
Yeah, just a quick question. Is SU going to address the sports betting issue at all?
Specifically?
Athletes, or are they going to address it with anybody there? You know, when the kids come in and My uncle won $300 off our game last week, and he lives in North Carolina, that kind of stuff.
Well, let me answer it like this. So I've been reading that. What you got? New Jersey and a couple other states just approved betting, correct? There's a couple folks that have done that. We have a task force here who reviews all that. We have a compliance team that reviews all that. And we will be prepared if, in the event, New York State does approve sports betting. It hasn't at this point. So we do have a compliance team that does education for all of our student athletes. They are very aware of the do's and don'ts associated with any sort of gambling. And it is very simple. Don't do it. Don't be associated with it. But one of the things we do to make sure that we are in compliance is we have those meetings every single year. Every student athlete, coaches, staff are all educated on how to protect themselves from that.
Do you see yourself competing to get a women's Final Four here?
Well, let me say this. The women's Final Four has grown so much. Right, even 10 years ago, that was held in very small arenas. Right now, it's being held in huge arenas. Is it possible? It is. We have the space and facility. To be totally candid, I'm not 100% sure if we would be allowed to. That's a good question. If we could host that in our own home stadium, something worth looking up. I do know this. We are competing to host the first and second round of the NCAA tournament every single year. And if our women's team finishes in the top 16 nationally, they have a really good chance of doing that. So, like a few other programs in the nation, we might be able to do that year in and year out and bring that postseason experience to women's basketball.
Hi, thanks for being here. It's great to have the university. You know, they're wonderful. It's great for the fans. It's great for economic impact. But it seems to me that I'm going to be the devil's advocate here.
Sure.
The university could do a little bit more to help out the community and help themselves at the same time. As an example, the roads. Now, unfortunately, Syracuse has a road problem, but the roads in the university section are just as bad, if not worse, than any place else in the city. Mm. And it seems to me that all these visitors that come in, you know, when the parents come in to see their kids at graduation time and they see the drive on these roads, they go, what the heck's going on here? I mean, so maybe you could talk with somebody about at least taking care of the roads in the university section.
Absolutely, absolutely happy to. You're 100% correct. I mean, and you know, it's funny because a lot of times you talk about fan experience and customer experience and you think that that's just inside the building, but it's not. It's every single moment from maybe the moment you wake up to think, all right, it's game day. What am I going to do? And if we have roads that people do not enjoy traveling on, that's detrimental to us, and yeah, I support you. We'll have those conversations.
Just the question is, I believe construction on the dome is going to start in 2020 in the spring.
Yes.
That's what I thought I read in the email I got. So where are we playing football and basketball in the 2021 season?
Oh, so here's what I truly believe.
I think
it's being done in a way that it will not, you won't have to lose football games or basketball games. I really think that's the plan. I think it's March 1, 2020, get to work, get ready to go by the first football game, go through those seasons, try to work on the things you can work on without having to have any of those type of issues, and then get back after it as soon as those seasons are over.
So we want the sun shining in.
I do not anticipate, open air. I can see Coach Boeheim now, right? With the, hey.
Hi, I just have a quick comment. I'm from the Salvation Army, and we have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that's actually taking place in the Dome on June 8th. And I just wanted to say, on behalf of many youngsters that are playing at the Dome who are very, very excited, and I know some men also who are very excited to be playing on the Dome, or at the Dome, thank you for your generosity. I know they are very excited to play and also to benefit the Salvation Army. So thank you for your generosity too in the community.
You are very welcome. Honestly, we love being able to do things like that. One of the things I love about social media, I know not everyone loves social media, but one of the things I love about social media is when you can capture those moments and share those moments. You see a young person down on a court. It's like Disneyland right here in central upstate New York. And you see that smile on their face. It's fantastic. We live to do that. We live to make memories like that and share them. So thank you, Jill. Thank you guys so much for letting me be here and join you. And I am looking forward to working with you guys, seeing you at events. I'll be downtown. If there's ever anything that I can do, my information is at cuse.com. Andrew Goodrich, send me an email. I will respond to you, and we will work together, all right? Thank you, and go Orange. Thank you.